I'm Judith Brown, and I've been an activist in Bristol for some 20 years, belonging to Palestine Solidarity, Stop the War, and such organisations. And when I was in Palestine Solidarity, that's when I met Cliff Handley, first of all, and he became a colleague and a friend and somebody that you could always rely on if you wanted to do an activity such as a vigil or go on a peace march or hand out leaflets. He was always the one that was there and willing to say yes. And because he became a friend and his family lived further away, we took to inviting him to us to join our family at Christmas, and that was always fun. He was a unique character, always there, wearing his beret and being very helpful with his. He had quite an unusual sense of humour, and he was somebody that everyone was really fond of. I remember when he went to Palestine, he did some sort of amazing pictures of Palestine, and he brought them back, and a lot of people were interested in those pictures and his art, and they did show a very different view of Palestine. He was able to sort of like record the horror of what he'd seen in a very visual way, but also in a way that where the actual paintings themselves were very attractive, attractive to people who viewed them. And so he really was able to further the cause of Palestine by his trips to Palestine, his anecdotal stories about it, and his paintings, which he was able to sell.
What do you think drove him to take this up as a cause?
I think he was from the left. He was a lifelong socialist. I think he was from Glasgow, and he'd seen a lot of social evils, I think, and that ended up by making him feel that he empathized with the underdog, and I think that he saw Palestinians as the underdog. And he definitely saw violence as a thing that he was very much against. And he didn't feel that war ever solved anything. And that was why he was always very active in the anti-war campaign. He went on the marches against the Iraq war, and he regularly attended the peace vigil, which went on for many years in Bristol, and he was a very active participant there, and went there really until the day of his accident.
Well, you say an accident, but he was actually assaulted, wasn't he?
He was. Someone came up to him and asked him what he felt about the Iraq war, and I think that he did say that he really regretted not saying, well, I really have always supported our boys, because I think that would have stopped people, the persons, from lashing out at him. Unfortunately, he said something like, I'm against all war, or words to that effect. And I think that the people took offence at that and hit out at him. Of course, he'd had a previous slight stroke, which didn't really handicap him that much. But it did mean that his balance wasn't quite as good as it would have been when he was younger, and he overbalanced and went backwards and hit his head on the wall, and that fractured his skull and caused him to have an effect that was like a stroke, and he never really recovered from that. He went home for a short time after his hospital visit, but then he went into a nursing home and later moved to another home. I think he had a flat, and that paid for the cost of his nursing care. And that's another sad story, really, because when his money ran out, he had to move on to another home, which wasn't so expensive. And I think he's the sort of chap that that would take that quite philosophically. He didn't see it as a as an issue. I think that it was always his view that that he was never a capitalist anyway, and it was just owning a flat wasn't something that was in his lifestyle. It wasn't his ambition to own a flat and to have money. So he just felt that when his money had gone and he had to move to a different nursing home, he took it in his stride, really.
Okay, but this was life-changing injuries that absolutely happened. I mean, were there charges? Did the police charge? And was the person that did this assault found and prosecuted?
No, it wasn't. I think that initially, I think when he went to casualty on the first day, they felt that it was just a minor injury, and he went home. I think it wasn't for a couple of days that they realised how serious the injury was, and then he was admitted to French A Hospital. And I think that the police had been involved in the first instance, but saw it as something that wasn't of any great significance, and had more or less closed the case. So I think the difficulty, although people went back to the police after his injury was more serious, and reported that the outcome was more serious, and it was actually a grievous bodily harm, really. But I think that the police at that point had sort of like lost interest in the case, and I don't think it was pursued. And I don't think that, and the difficulty, of course, was that Cliff, in the situation that he was in, because he then got the symptoms of a stroke, although he was able to speak normally, fortunately. But I think that he just regretted that the other people hadn't been brought to justice. But I think that he felt, and other people felt, that the police knew who it was, but that they had they'd lost interest and didn't pursue it.
Well, that's just another damning indictment of Avon Somerset Police. But how do you think Cliff will be remembered?
I think he'll be certainly he was one of a kind. I think that I shall remember him as wearing his black beret, always cheerful, always answering the call of need. A compassionate, funny man, and somebody that gave a lot to his community, and was a great friend to all of the people who knew him.
Okay, Judith Brown, thanks very much for that tribute to Cliff Hanley.
Thank you.